Let me take a minute again to say I'm glad that we're all here gathered, and I also want to say to Cheryl and Dorothy how glad I am that you're here. Alleluia. Today we are celebrating this amazing truth of the resurrection of Jesus. The truth that gives us the promise and comfort of life everlasting. It's life everlasting for ourselves, for those we love, for all who believe in Jesus Christ. So the Easter truth makes Christianity what it is. It shapes who we are and what we do. It shapes how we understand ourselves as Christians. That's what all of these texts, all of these parts of the story are all about. Thought we would look for a minute at the whole of the story. If I go forward from here, Bob, can I do it? Oh, wow, Bob's amazing. Read it for me. God so loved the world that he gave his own son. And here's the gift. Christ Jesus nailed to a cross hanging between two thieves. And those at the foot of the cross are those who were there on duty or were there to mock him or were disciples, friends, family who loved him. And they could not leave him behind. He hung there for 3 hours until they were sure he had died. And then they took him down. They put him in a tomb, in a sepulcher, in a coffin, or laid him on a stone, and then rolled the big stone across in front of the cave-like tomb and posted guards that would watch. Look how huge it is and how heavy it must be. But as day broke on the third day, on that Sunday morning, something was happening in that tomb. That stone was rolling away. We picture light cascading out and the tomb open. When the women came in the darkness, ready to anoint his body, they looked and they saw that the stone had been rolled away. And the tomb was empty. Later, Mary is still by the tomb when John tells us that Jesus came and found him and her, and she thought he was the gardener, but he called her by name, Mary, he said. And then she remembered and knew that it was him. Because the dawn had come, and with the dawn, the truth that he was not there, he had risen. It was the dawn for all of us, for he is risen. He is risen indeed. The question is asked, why do you seek the living among the dead? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Easter texts tell us the story. But they are also teaching tools for us, just like Tim can work with the children to teach them a story that they will know, that they will remember, that they'll hear year after year, just as we do. The story becomes a way that you and I can go back and see how it all happened and how the gospel writers explain it to us and what they each wanted to emphasize. As you may know, There are four gospel writers, the ones who wrote the particular volumes that we call the gospels, and those gospels tell us the many stories of Jesus' life and ministry, and they especially tell of his arrest and death and resurrection. The Gospels are the first four books in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in fact, some parts of the resurrection story are also found in some of Paul's letters and in Luke's book we call Acts. But this year, in the three-year cycle, the gospel we mainly follow is the Gospel of Luke, so I focused today on what Luke was telling us. I was struck in Luke's account at how Luke kept talking about seeing, about people who saw something, and I found myself asking, who was seeing these things, and what were they seeing? So I want to let you consider that also. It seems to me in these two passages that Selwyn read and I have read, that there are four references in just those two passages about seeing. In Luke 23:47, at the cross, Luke says, the Roman centurion saw. He saw what had taken place. And Luke says that the centurion, having seen it all, praises God. Furthermore, the centurion, having seen it all, proclaims his opinion that this man, Jesus, was innocent. Or in another way to translate that word, he was saying that Jesus was righteous. So Luke describes how a man who's not a friend or follower of Jesus, in fact, he's a Roman officer of all things, how he has seen and has come to believe that Jesus, crucified as a common criminal would be crucified, is innocent of the charges and righteous. And realizing that God has something to do with what's going on here, that centurion praises God because the centurion has seen. He has seen. Then in the next verse, in Luke 23:48, notice these words, all the crowds who had gathered for this spectacle saw. Luke says, the crowds saw all this and returned home beating their breasts. They may not know what it all meant, but they know something terrible, something life-changing, something earth-shattering has happened. They saw. Were they disciples and believers like my Martha, who shared with us last week as she came to be? Or were they in the crowds at Palm Sunday calling out, Hosanna, 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 like the children remember? Or did they on Friday morning shout, Crucify him, in the court of Pontius Pilate? We don't know. Maybe it was a mixture of all those people, but Luke tells us they saw. And they know that what has happened was awful. It was wrong. It was life-changing. Then in verse 55, after the information about Joseph of Arimathea coming to claim and bury the body of Jesus, Luke tells us the women saw. What women? Well, Luke says the women who came with Jesus from Galilee. That's a long journey. It took a lot of time. There were many stops along the way, but the women had come with them all that way. They are the women that Luke tells us about in chapter 8, those first three verses. The women who helped support Jesus and his disciples out of their own means. They were wealthy enough to buy the food and to take care of the needs of the group. That's not, my friends, that's not unlike you and me, who by giving support can undergird the ministries of the church, the salaries, the day-to-day expenses, our outreach to others in need. In a time when women were often not noticed or not valued, Luke has acknowledged them and given them credit. He even names them, some of them, first in chapter 8, and he names them again here. Mary, called Magdalene, Joanna, the wife of Mary, Joanna, who is the wife of Herod's steward Cusa, Mary, the mother of James, Susanna, and Luke says, many others. Many others. Maybe he meant us. And Luke says, those women saw. They had stood at a distance watching the crucifixion. They saw Jesus nailed to and hanging on a cross. Their hearts were breaking. Among them is who? His mother. How would that feel to watch your child being hung and nailed and hung on a cross? They had followed and they saw the tomb because they followed all the way to where his body was buried. They saw where and how he was buried. You see, they never left. They stayed present. They saw it all. Sometimes we think Jesus' followers ran away, but the women didn't. They were there to the end. And then one more at the end of that second reading, the one I read, Luke points out Peter, who ran and looked into the tomb. And Luke says, he saw. He saw the linen cloths, but not the body of our Lord. For Jesus was gone. He had risen. They saw the centurion, the crowds, the women, Peter, they saw. Well, when an author repeats a word or an action or a theme, you're going to realize it's important to the story that author is telling. So what is it about seeing that we need to notice here in Luke's story of the death and resurrection of Jesus? Well, I think one thing it tells us is that those who saw it become witnesses to the truth of it. I saw it myself, you or I might say, when there's something hard to believe. We speak up to authenticate a truth, a reality. And so it is here. The centurion, the crowds, the women, Peter, they saw it. Luke wants us to know that there was proof. There were witnesses. It was true. People back then looked for another explanation because people don't just leave a tomb where they were buried. So they're going to say, well, he probably wasn't dead at all. People even now, I think, reject the truth of religious faith from saying, oh, religion doesn't make sense to me. You've heard that. Or to more casually saying, so what? So what? In Luke's account, we know they saw it, and it was true. But I think there's another thing going on here, and that is that when someone saw, they came to a new level of understanding. The centurion, notice what he does. He praises God. He sees that Jesus is righteous and innocent. The crowd sees. They go home beating their breasts, not like strongman Tarzan, but more like someone's totally dismayed, saying, oh, 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 oh. The women saw. They saw him crucified. They saw where and how he was raised. And they will see the two men in dazzling raiment who tell them Jesus is not here, but has risen. They go from planning to anoint and tend the body of a dead and beloved friend to returning to announce the resurrection. They go from sorrow to joy. And Peter. Peter saw. He went home amazed. Because after all, to see is to have a truth confirmed and to have your opinion shaped or even changed. You have had that experience. I know you have. Remember how one time or another you've said, "Oh, now I see. Now I get it." They saw. But what about us? Do we see? Are we open to knowing the absolute reality of Jesus? Jesus who was the Son of God? Jesus who was innocent and righteous? Jesus who was without sin himself but carried our sins in his own body so that when he was crucified and then was raised from the dead, we too might be raised to new life? Do we see? The angelic figures tell us here's a sentence, it doesn't make any sense. The angelic figures ask the women at the tomb, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" One commentator I read this week said, we could be asked the same thing. Nancy Pittman says, we're just as guilty of such a fruitless search. We too want to tend the corpses of long dead ideas and ideals. We cling to former visions of ourselves and our churches as if they might come back to life as long as we hold on to them. Well, is that too harsh? Is that too hard to hear? Nancy Pittman goes on to suggest that we sometimes grasp our own loved ones too tightly, refusing to allow them to grow and change. We choose to stay with what we know in our hearts, even if we know it's probably dead and gone, but we also know it's safe. Do you think that that's true of us? Well, I think it's worth considering. But one last thing about these passages before we go on. Luke shows the two men in shining raiment at the tomb. They remind the women about Jesus being risen. "Don't you remember?" they ask. "Don't you remember how he told you that the Son of God must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" There is so much that Jesus told his disciples and told us. We are asked now, "Don't you remember? Don't you remember who he was and how he taught you to live and how he called you to follow him?" That's a big question for us. Don't we remember? Haven't we learned? Haven't we changed? So the women told this to the 11 and all the rest. They suddenly remembered and they ran to tell them all. Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women who were with them. The other women who were with them. You know what? There's room for us in Luke's gospel. Room for us to find that empty tomb. Room for us to go and tell the good news. Those other women that Luke doesn't name, I think it includes us. That's what we need to think about today and recommit to, even as we celebrate this wonderful news that he is risen. And we too will be risen to eternal life. Perhaps it's too hard. Perhaps the celebration would be too much for us. I invite Jennifer Reed to come and share a poem by Anne Weems, an invitation to us, the people of the faith, to come to the Easter party. Let's see if it works.